Welcome everyone to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert, our online service. We are actually live tonight, and so we are glad, we are blessed that you're joining us from wherever you're at. And while we're live online tonight, one of the really awesome things I'd like to announce is we will be live in person this Sunday here at Calvary Chapel Palm Desert as we will have the doors open this Sunday, 10 a.m. service in person, and we want to invite you. We're going to do our best to, of course, follow the guidelines with social distancing and all, but we want you to come. Come and worship the Lord with us. So we're excited this Sunday at 10 a.m. On that note, one of the things we want to announce is there'll be no children's ministries for the next 2 weeks or so. So please keep that in prayer, and we're just thankful that we're opening the doors. We miss you, and we look forward to worshiping with you. And if you're not feeling well or you're not ready to come and worship with us in person, we will be live Sunday morning at 10 a.m. here on the YouTube channel. So we will still continue to have this available for you online so that you can worship with us and hear God's precious word. Tonight, we're going to be looking at one of the themes we're going to be taking a look at. It's one of the, I believe, one of the most important characteristics of God is his faithfulness to stand by his people. And so tonight's text, the main text we're looking at is out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." This is kind of the theme tonight, that the Lord stood with me. And the Lord stands with you as well. It's important to know this because in the life we're living now and what we see in society, there are many ups and downs taking place. There are many things happening that people aren't sure of. There are many times that things that are going on and people are going, "Wait, how do I deal with this? What is this happening?" But to know that through it all, God is always with us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the beautiful promise from our God. And so before we go any further in God's word, let's just take a moment and let's just bring our hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that we have to worship you, to hear from your precious word, God. We are so thankful that through everything, Lord, you stand with us. You never leave us, God. Never forsake us. So I pray tonight as we dig into your word, that, Lord, you would encourage us, encourage your people, God, that you are with us in the midst of the storms, the fiery trials, the rising waters, whatever it may be, God, you are with us. I pray that that message would resonate in our hearts tonight, Lord. We ask that your Spirit, Lord, would speak to our hearts. Reveal your truth from your precious word tonight. As we sit at your feet, Lord, the good shepherd, the lover of our soul, we thank you for this time. We ask that you would be blessed, Lord. You would be pleased in what you hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, tonight we're going to be looking at a few scriptures. If you want to maybe mark your Bibles or put a little bookmark in there. One of the sections we're going to be in is Isaiah 43, chapter 43, verse 2. We're also going to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And of course, the scripture that I just read, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 17. So we have the scriptures up here so that you can know where we're going. The theme of tonight's study is that no matter what we are facing, no matter what the unknown is, no matter what the uncharted territory looks like or the uncharted waters, no matter how hard storms may blow, that the Lord stands with us. And as I mentioned earlier, In the time that we're living now, we really need to know this church. We really need to know that God is with us. He has not forsaken us. He has not left us because he promised he would never do so. And to think that God is not with you is essentially calling God a liar. Listen, he paid far too great a price for you. Far too great a price to leave you to your own, to leave me to my own. And that's the message we want to resonate tonight. In Deuteronomy, the words that were recorded in chapter 31, verse 6, were, "Be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise from God. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I know that there are many who are feeling desperately alone right now. There are many believers who are feeling alone with this self-quarantine stuff that's right out of the pit of hell. God is with you. He'll never leave you. He's always with you. He'll never forsake you. Why did Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, why did Paul say with such assurance, with such boldness to young Timothy, why would he declare something when he says, "But the Lord stood with me"? After the shipwrecks, after the beatings, after the imprisonments, after the betrayals, even by brethren, by those in the house of the Lord, Paul declares to Timothy, he says, regarding all that and the betrayal that's coming and that Paul just went through, he says, in spite of all that, guess what? The Lord stood with me through everything. Paul was able to declare that with boldness. The Lord stood with him. And Paul declares this absolute truth. And this is an absolute truth for every believer in Jesus Christ, for every child of God. The Lord stands with us and strengthens us. Now, you might say, well, that's great. That's New Testament, right? But what about the Old Testament? I'm glad you asked. I'd like us to all turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Now, this is a promise coming from God, which is specifically regarding Israel and how in the past God had delivered them and how he'll continue to deliver them. The way that God provided a way to cross the Red Sea as well as the Jordan River. But there's an amazing spiritual application here for us, for all of us as God's children. These are promises. First, he says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Notice, it does not say if, it says when you pass through the waters. When you pass through the uncharted territory, when you pass through the unknown waters, when you pass through uncertainty, the Lord says, "I will be with you." Did you know that over 935 times in Scripture, we read four beautiful words? It came to pass. It came to pass. Over 935 times you'll find that in Scripture. And why would God remind us so many times in Scripture, it came to pass? Because it's going to come to pass. Whatever you're facing, whatever season you're in, and that's all it is, it's going to pass. It's not permanent. Your situation right now is not a permanent situation. Your situation, if you're facing self-isolation right now, it's not a permanent situation. Jobs, families, schools, things are upside down right now. But it's going to pass. Yes, the church is experiencing a time it's never seen before. The world, the country is experiencing a time that it's never seen. These are truly unknown, uncharted territory right now that we are going through. But the Lord says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He then goes on to say, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. It's a description, that word overflow, it means to overwhelm, to consume. And listen, we will find ourselves at times in deep waters, but God promises He's going to be with us through those waters. At times it can seem that we're spiritually walking on our tippy toes, just trying to keep our nose above water because the waters seem to be rising. But God promises us in His Word, through the rivers He will be with us. They shall not overflow you. You shall not be consumed. It's easy these days that we live in to feel overwhelmed, like the river is about to overflow. When we begin to feel overwhelmed, it is important that we know the promises of God. There are a lot of things that we are all facing right now that have the ability to cause us to feel overwhelmed and to create anxiety, worry, and to create the heavy burden upon us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we are told we are to cast all our cares upon the Lord, because He cares for us. And maybe you're carrying some stuff right now. Maybe there are some worries. Maybe there are some burdens. Maybe there is some anxiety building up in your life. And God is saying, give it to me. He says, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. We're all going through different things right now in our life. We're facing a lot of things that seem uncertain. But it's in these uncertain times that we need to turn to a place, we need to turn to the Word of God that is certain. And we need to know the promises of God. I need to know that I can cast all of my cares upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for me. He cares for you. He loves you. And He is saying tonight, give me those cares. Quit carrying the burden. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, we are told we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiety. It's a word described, it's to strangle something. to strangle the life out of something. And that's what anxiety does for the believer. And when we are going through the rivers, the Lord says, they shall not overflow you. They shall not consume you. He says, I'm not going to let them consume you. He is with us. He's with us. Even in the midst of all that we're facing right now, he's with us. And look what he says here, the last part of verse 3. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Again, key word, when. We are going to face trials by fire. We're not in a place to be completely immune from those things. As believers, we're told we're actually going to face trials and tribulation. We're going to go through struggles. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He says, overcoming sin and death, he defeated it on the cross. So that no matter what trials we're facing, he's with us. Yeah, even if you're in a fiery furnace, you're in a trial, and the trial by fire is just ablaze, God is with us. You remember the story in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow to King Nebuchadnezzar's 90-foot gold idol. They would not worship him. And so he commanded that they would fire up the furnace, because anybody who did not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's 90-foot gold statue, they would be thrown in the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no way. We are not worshiping you. And so he had them fire up the furnace, not just turn it on, but they fired it up 7 times hotter than normal. 7 times the heat, right? They were bound, and the furnace was so hot that the Bible says in Daniel, the men from Nebuchadnezzar's army, they were men of valor. These were mighty men. As they went to put them in the midst of the furnace, it was so hot that those men were consumed by the fire and killed. And it was only moments later, as King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw 4 men loosed, no longer bound, walking in the midst of the fire. And it was King Nebuchadnezzar who declared that the 4th man is in the form of the Son of God. So this promise in Isaiah, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Daniel tells us that they came out of that fiery furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. Not one hair singed. But you know what the fire did burn off? It burned off their bindings. It burned off the things that bound them. And so it holds true with believers. When we are in a fiery furnace, what we call trials, those trials are important for the believer. Those trials, the fiery trials that we endure and we go through with the Lord, they are very important. The fire brings about a purification in us. When we go through trials, sometimes the fire is there to break the bounds and the bindings of the enemy in our life. Sometimes that fire is there to break chains. It's there to purify the believers. Just as a metalsmith would heat up his kiln so hot and melt down the metals, whether it be precious gold or silver, to get that metal so hot that the impurities can rise to the top and be skimmed away. That can only happen through fire. There is no other way to remove those impurities. And we are told in Scripture that we will face trials and fiery trials at that. But they are to test us, to strengthen us, to produce perseverance in us, to cause patience in our lives. In other words, the fiery trials in our life are there to create godly character in our lives, to remove the impurities. So maybe tonight you're in a place where you're finding yourself, you're in a trial right now. You know it's a trial. And the flame is flickering, it's getting hot. The furnace is heating up. But just as it was true with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so it holds true with us, that the Lord is in the fire with us. That is so important to know. You are not alone. You are not alone in this fire. He's with you. So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, three promises there. God will see us through the uncharted waters, and he will be with us. He will not allow the rising rivers to overwhelm us, to consume us. And he will not allow the fiery trials in our life to scorch us. Because he's with us. Again, pointing back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, why was Paul able to declare with such conviction to young Timothy that the Lord stood with me? Yes, he was beaten. Yes, he was imprisoned. Yes, he was stoned to death. Yes, he was shipwrecked. But Paul declared through all of that, the Lord stood with him. And the Lord stands with you. He is standing with you right now. I believe more than ever, the church and the season that we're in, we are discovering just how close he's standing with us. Families are getting together and they are praying together again. Men are leading their families in a godly manner again. Fathers are discovering what it means to be a father again. Mothers are discovering what it means to be a mom again. God is using all this. And the promise in Romans 8:28 is that God will work all things out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God's going to work these things out. And I want to encourage you tonight to just remember that, listen, the Lord is with you. He's with you. Another example, you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay, but what about Jesus? I'm so glad you asked. So let's turn to our Bibles in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We're going to see this amazing account of Jesus with his disciples. Again, reminding us that the Lord is always with us. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41 says, on the same day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is a text that I'm sure you've heard many times. It's recorded in multiple gospel accounts. But this is nevertheless, this is an amazing account to see Jesus in the boat with his disciples in the midst of a storm. Now, when God guides us in our life, there are the times when, as he's guiding and directing us, that storms will arise. In fact, they will. Oftentimes, when we are being obedient to God's direction in our lives, that is where we find some of the most intense resistance from the enemy. When we're being obedient. Let us go, Jesus says. Let us cross over to the other side. Again, that was a statement by the Lord. He wasn't saying, let us maybe get to the other side. Let us try, and if we don't, that's okay, get to the other side. No. He says, let us cross over to the other side. In other words, we're crossing over to the other side. Period. And he says, let us. He's with us. Sometimes God will tell us the same thing as believers. We'll hear that still small voice. Let us take a step of faith together. Let us cross over to the other side, as it were, like the disciples. And we say, okay, Lord. And then a storm arises, a violent storm. When we thought, Lord, I'm just doing what you wanted me to do. Why am I in the midst of a storm? It says they're going to cross over. They're together. He says, let us. He says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. I want to just kind of highlight that, as he was. They took him as he was. There are many people who want to follow Jesus if. Or, sure, it sounds good to this Jesus, but we have to accept him as he is. We can't argue with it. As the disciples took him as he is, we need to take Jesus as he is. We need to take his word as it is truth. We need to say, yes, Lord, and amen. They took him as he was, but there were also other little boats that were also with him, which I'll talk about in a moment. But remember in this story, it wasn't just the disciples and Jesus in the boat. There were many boats with them. Jesus had just finished preaching and teaching the multitude of people out on the Sea of Galilee on the shores. And so as they're crossing, it's not just Jesus in the boat with the disciples, what you might think, but there were other little boats following them. In verse 36, the little boats were following with them, with Jesus. And they were following Jesus too. They had just heard him preach. They were following Jesus. And lo and behold, here comes the storm, verse 37 and 38. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Here comes the storm all of a sudden. Now, violent storms were common on the Sea of Galilee, but this was a different storm. This was a different storm. I want to talk about that. See, in this particular storm, we can tell by just the words of these experienced fishermen, these disciples, as they proclaimed and shouted and screamed these words, "We are perishing, we are dying." These were experienced fishermen who fished many, many years on the sea. They were aware of the many storms that would arise all of a sudden on the Sea of Galilee, and sometimes even violent storms. But this storm was different. As the boat's filling with waters, the disciples find themselves scared, fearing they are going to die. This isn't just a common storm. No, this storm is much more than that. To cause these fishermen to freak out and be scared for their life. And they look, and there's Jesus, and he's resting his head on a pillow, sleeping. "Lord," as they wake him up, "Lord, do you not care that we are perishing?" Of course he does. They're forgetting the truth that he's in the boat with them. They're questioned about their faith, and one of those many reasons is Jesus is in the boat with you. He's not going to let this thing consume you. He said, "Let us cross over." He's sleeping. Obviously, that if the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is resting, then he's going to get us through this storm. But what makes this storm interesting is the next verse in verse 39. It says that Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be still." That's key. He rebuked the wind. The same terminology is found all through Scripture when Jesus is causing demons to be silenced or casting demons out of people. The storm is not by happen chance. The storm is spiritual in nature. In fact, the way he rebukes this storm, let's look at what's taking place here. Well, first, let's look at their destination. Where is Jesus going? What happens when he lands? He meets a demoniac who is possessed with a legion of demons, right? That's a spiritual battle. He's going to cross over to this man who's going to be set free. Oftentimes, when there's about to be a breakthrough in our lives, when God is about to do something incredible, you can be sure that the enemy is going to try to bring a storm into your life to bring fear and to bring worry and desperation and cause you to doubt just before the breakthrough happens. Why? Fear is not something that God gives us. Fear and faith, they can't dwell in the same place. This is a terrified fear. This isn't having a reverence for God. That's the fear of the Lord. That's different. No, this is consumed by, gripped by fear. I'm scared. I'm going to die. Where does fear come from? Who is the one that causes fear and panic in the believer? The author of confusion, the liar, the thief. So we see the fear came and captivated them. We know that the demoniac was waiting to be set free. So we have to see, and the terminology that Jesus used when he rebuked the storm, that indeed this is a spiritual battle taking place right here. And we can conclude that Satan indeed has a significant hand in this storm. A truth to be reminded of is that we're in a spiritual battle. Listen, oftentimes The storm the disciples go through gets overlooked. But I would submit to you tonight that when God is getting ready to do an amazing breakthrough, the enemy, that's when he wants to discourage the believer. It just seems that things are more intense. The anxiety levels tend to rise. The waters feel like they're rising. We start to worry. We start to doubt. We're maybe facing a trial at the time, just before a major breakthrough. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual storm that they are in. And they are scared. They're terrified. And God, Jesus, he arose and he rebuked the wind and he told the sea to be still because he has that authority. And so even if you find yourself in the midst of a spiritual wasp nest, right, and everything's going crazy, Jesus has the authority to rebuke those works of the enemy. And he has the authority to say, peace, be still. But we need to know he's with us in the boat when we're in that storm. We must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because when we take our eyes off of Jesus, Peter tried that. He's walking on water, Peter. Hey, this is great. But what happened when Peter turned his eyes away from the Lord? When he got his eyes off the Lord, what happened? He began to sink. It's all in Jesus. And he is with us. And remember this, in Ephesians 6:12, New King James Version, I'm going to read the NLT version because I like the way it's worded. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." We're in a spiritual battle. Our battle is not with a governor. Our battle is not with the leaders of this nation. Our battle is not with these world organizers. Our battle is not with man, flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual. And the only way that we can survive and endure this spiritual warfare is to put on the full armor of God, to be men and women of prayer, men and women of faith, men and women of the Word, putting our armor on each day. Because this battle is spiritual. And by nature, we cannot endure this battle in and of ourselves. We cannot. We'll find ourselves as casualties. But Jesus, oh yeah, Jesus, he is the conquering lion. He's the mighty warrior that Isaiah spoke of. Yes, he is. And if we are found in Christ Jesus, listen, no matter what the enemy throws at you, he shall not prevail. Because by his word, by the words of Jesus, just by his word, those attacks will fall to the wayside. As he spoke, and he told the storm, and he told the waves to be still, the very first question he asked the disciples is, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? I told you we're crossing over. I told you we're going to get there. I'm in the boat with you." Now, also keep in mind, what were the little boats thinking at this time? We forget about them in this story. All the ones from the multitude he was just preaching to, they're all following too. They were all in the storm too. And they just witnessed Jesus telling the wind, rebuking the wind and telling the waves to be still, and they were. So yes, it says they feared exceedingly. Now they were really freaked out after that. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Who can this be with such power and such authority? Who can this be that can speak to creation and it does exactly what it's told? Who can this be? It is Jesus Christ, the Lord. It is God in the flesh. And he has that authority. And guess what, church? He's in the boat with you. Even if you're finding yourself in a spiritual storm right now, Jesus is with you. 2 Timothy 4:17. Why was Paul able to speak to young Timothy with such conviction that the Lord stood with him? Because Paul witnessed firsthand through all that Paul went through and all that he endured, he witnessed firsthand the grace of God in his life, the mercy of God, and he always had the present or was aware of the presence of God in his life. Not only that, Paul also knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew Isaiah and the promise that God gave the people in Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43 verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. You shall not be scorched. And the same God yesterday, he's the same yesterday, today, and always. Whether it's in Isaiah, you can read how God's faithfulness to stand by his people in Jeremiah chapter 20. All through the Old Testament, in fact, God never once left his people. Never. Never. His people left him, walked away from him, and every man has that free will to walk with God in his presence or walk away from God. And that's a choice that you have to make. But let me ask you this, Christian. As Jesus is asking the disciples here, when we face these storms in life, when we go through trials, would Jesus say these things to us? Could we hear these words from the Lord? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the study, Jesus paid far too great a price for you to leave you to your own. Nobody else. Nothing else on this earth. It was mankind that he suffered and died for, to prove your worth to God. Whether you find yourself passing through uncharted waters or going through the rising rivers of life, perhaps finding yourself smack dab in the middle of a fiery trial, or like the disciples, you find yourself in the midst of a raging storm, no matter what you're facing, know this, that the Lord stands with you. He is with you. This is why Paul was able, with such confidence and boldness and assurance, to proclaim to Timothy, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. And that's his desire for you. And I pray that tonight, as you're watching this, if you're finding yourself in one of these categories, know this, that the Lord is with you. You have the promises of God right here. So many promises. But if you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't surrendered to that authority we talked about, Because he has all authority. If you haven't surrendered to that and surrendered to his lordship, then you're trying to navigate life by yourself. And guess what? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because you're living a life that's out of place right now. God created you to have fellowship with him. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You are created by God. You are his handiwork, his masterpiece, his poem, his poem, his muse, his everything. You. What are you going to do with Jesus? Stop trying to live this life without him. You're facing too many storms right now, too many uncharted waters. To navigate it by yourself is impossible. And so God is calling you tonight to come to him. And Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you so that you could place your trust in him and find forgiveness for your sins and find a new life in Christ where God is walking with you daily. And then these promises are yours. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but he's waiting for you. And so if you'd like to pray tonight and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, don't wait. Do it right now. Right now where you're at. Stop. Stop trying to do this life without the Lord. Stop. You can't do it. You can't navigate the storms of life without the Lord. You're going to crash and burn. And God loves you too much to see that happen to you. And we're told in Scripture that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and God the Father raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And right now, where you're at, I want you to pray this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse my heart, God. Make me your child as I give my life to you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The Bible says that if you prayed that prayer with a sincere heart and you confessed him as your Lord and Savior and you believe in Jesus, you are saved. And that is our prayer here tonight, that all who are watching, that if you're a believer already, you would be encouraged with the scriptures tonight. But if you do not know the Lord, that today is the day of salvation. And I pray that you prayed that prayer. If you did, would you call the church office? Call a church, a Bible teaching church. Let them know that you've given your life to Jesus. What do I do next? You need to be discipled. Don't let this just pass away. But you need to be discipled. We'll get a Bible put in your hand if you need one. Come by the church. Let us know. We love you. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have together tonight. I pray, God, that as we go through these unsure waters that we are facing in these times, that you, Lord, would stir our hearts in such a way that we would know with absolute assurance, as Paul declared, that you stand with us and you strengthen us, God. When we're weak, you are strong, and your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. We love you. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together. And pray that you are blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.